Welcome to Addiction to Recovery. Our purpose and passion is to bring you not only the science of addiction,
but also the patient perspective and how the two relate.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Addiction to Recovery. I'm Dr. Heather Bell. I am a family and addiction physician, and I am joined by Josh Solem, who is a certified peer recovery specialist. Hi, Josh.
Hi. And a recovery coach now, and, you know, just person in long-term recovery that's trying to help people. And that's really what this show is about and what we continue to, like, talk about as we go through and we try and figure out how to help people. This is the one avenue that I've realized that we have control over completely. We have complete control over how much we put into this, and we need to do more.
Because neither of us loves having control.
Right.
So, we just really want to do what we can to bring information. And obviously, if you have any questions or topic ideas, we've gotten several emails with questions and just thoughts, please email us. It's addiction2recoverypodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, check us out on any social media sites. You can find it pretty
except TikTok easily. For some reason. We're not on TikTok.
Because we have a voice neither for
one
radio.
Of us, neither one of us know what TikTok is. The other thing is that, you know, I think the more we dig into this alcohol thing, and people are going to, what, they're doing alcohol again? Yes, we're doing alcohol again. Because the more we dig into it, I think the more we realize how...
I think this was a super fun series because, like you said, or I interrupted you as you were saying, is that it is, we were talking about this earlier, it's such a gateway drug, if you want to use that super overused cliched phrase of gateway, but it is such a gateway drug, and most people don't think of it as a drug, and being Alcohol Awareness Month here in April, there's so many different ways to break this down, and so... I think this was a super neat series.
Well,
and
I'll
I think we have one more left.
At least. But this. I mean, I'll bring him in my my experiences in a group that's supposed to be anonymous that we talked about as far as, you know,
it's still drug anonymous.
Is a drug. It's drug is a drug, you know, and alcohol is a drug. Mm-hmm. Whether or not, you know, you're going to that anonymous group for a drug issue or alcohol issue, a drug is a drug and it's affecting you very similarly. And if you can look at this as, you know, what a gateway drug is. They always used to say marijuana, pot's the gateway drug. Well, let's face it. I mean,
I think the number
society?
One is alcohol.
Alcohol. And that's what we all start on. And for the most part, you know, that's where.
Which is my first statistic.
Yeah. This was a very smooth transition because we're talking about, you know, the gateway thing. So that's what we're going to talk about is that whole idea of adolescence.
Adolescence.
What is being experienced nowadays? And maybe Heather and I are going to share our different experiences growing up.
Buy me a nun habit.
Well, yeah, right. But you know, there's the idea that we all have our own perception of what adolescents are doing, and even when we were adolescents, we had a perception of what other adolescents were doing. But there are real stats, and that's what we're going to, Heather is going to provide, because she has done a ton of work on this, and I'm along for the ride here.
Yes. So I want to go back to the gateway comment, because I have a lot of stats, and I don't want to bombard everybody with stats, but some of them are just so striking, and the stats really show why this gets to be its whole own podcast here. But if we look at adolescents, in this stat is age 12 to 20. So 12.
Underage, really.
Way underage. Well, I mean, everybody's underage. That's what this whole topic's about. Right. Everybody under the age of 21.
But this 21. Legal drinking age.
Really. Legal drinking age. So 12 to 20, this statistic, 15.1% of people between the ages of 12 to 20 as of 2022. In all of these studies they do, and they do tons of studies. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health, the Monitoring the Future study, like these are big studies out of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, the NIAAA, National Institute of Health. These are big studies they do every year. And so this is not a measly little study. So this is the most up-to-date data. Because it's Alcohol Awareness Month, this data is very accessible. But between the ages of 12 and 20, as of 2022, 15.1% of that age group used alcohol regularly, meaning at least once a month. 15%.
So
okay,
let's
only 5% use tobacco. Isn't that bizarre? 5% tobacco between the ages of 12 and 20.
But you think
that was low to me.
Well, it is low, but I mean, you think about the crackdown on tobacco lately, you know, right. since I was,
but this is like all tobacco. This includes vaping
right in there.
And that is what's phenomenal to me, because I think cigarettes, yes, you're right. But I think the vaping, from what I see, vaping has gone up so much because it's easier to hide.
Right.
But only 5%, which I think is only, I mean, but whatever.
But this is, let's put this in perspective. 12 to 20, between you and me, we have four in that group.
Four kids.
Four boys that are in that group. That's scary to me.
And that's, I mean, 5%. So that's, luckily we're sliding out of that percentage wise. But
no, I know, but the alcohol,
15%, that in almost one in, I mean, almost. If we threw each of their best friends in that, we'd have eight kids, and then at least one and a half of them would be consuming.
But then when you think about it, is that that's a big age range, you know, 12 to 20. You would think that if you did 18 to 20, it would be a higher,
and it is, but
higher number. But
let me throw the marijuana number.
Do you know why they make that such a large?
Well, they do have it broken down too. This one stat was just to compare alcohol to tobacco to marijuana. Gotcha.
Okay.
Marijuana, want to take a guess? Because Josh has not seen these statistics.
So 5%.
And 15%. So it's guess.
3%.
No, 11.8.
So more do
marijuana than tobacco.
Listen to me talk like an old man. More do marijuana than do tobacco. No.
Yeah, no, so. I mean, to me that we're talking gateway though, so it makes sense that alcohol is higher. But I was also shocked that marijuana was higher than tobacco.
Think about that. These are, you know, the only thing in there. Well, now marijuana, but the only thing in there that is legal there that could be considered legal for any of those.
If we're in the state of Minnesota,
18 to 20, you could do
the nicotine, and that's still the lowest one. Because in Minnesota. The cannabis age and the alcohol age is 21.
But I think some of the city ordinances have raised the tobacco age to 21.
Thank goodness. And I think every cannabis age should be 25, but that's a whole other podcast. Yeah. Okay.
Soapbox.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. So here's back to some data, and then we'll break it down. We'll go through some data, and then we'll kind of talk about more nitty gritty things. So in 2022, according to this National Survey on Drug Use and Health, about 19.7% of youth ages 14 to 15 had drank at least one time in that 1 year. So between the ages of 14 to 15, 20% drank.
So, and that's not saying that was their first use. That's just saying, you know, they drank at that point, 20%. And 14 is what, eighth grade?
I have an eighth grade. I have a 14-year-old child.
Yeah, that's pretty,
I mean,
shocking.
One in five.
Yeah, I mean, that's a high number.
That's a high number.
And that's one, yeah, you can say that's one drink or drank one time in that year. But let's face it, that one time, I mean, out of those 20%, probably 15 of those 20%.
Probably drank more.
Drank more than that.
Yeah, so I don't have that number.
Maybe one, but you know, some try it and just to try it, but that's.
Do you want to guess which gender drinks more?
I saw this.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Girls do. Yeah. Historically, it's always been males until recently. It's female. So as of 2022, 16.6% of females from high school age. So we're talking, you know, high schoolers. Well,
15 to.
We're roughly to 15 to 18.
15 to 18, yeah.
And 14% of boys. So it's close, but historically it was always boys and now it's girls.
I wonder why that has changed.
They didn't break it down into that, but yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's just interesting data. This doesn't really matter. If we're looking at just high school students, so ninth grade through 12th grade, 23% of all high school students, and you have a high schooler. I almost have a high schooler.
Right.
You have a high schooler. 23% of high school students drank within the last month, one in four.
And that number is, to me, it seems more sensible. I've seen some of the promotional billboards or some of the promotional things with some of the organizations that try and set, you know, norms for kids to like say, okay, you know, 87% of so-and-so town high school students chose not to use alcohol or whatever.
Yep.
To try and change the norms.
Well, right. They're because, using the positive. So,
right.
Because I think a lot of youth, and we, this is what we were talking about, like the people you were hanging out
perception
with.
Perception is right. That everybody's doing it. Everybody drinks. And we live in this egocentric, and we're very centered on the people that we hang out with. And so then we just figure that everybody's drinking somewhere. You know, right. I mean,
or we see the popular kids, or we want to be them. Now let's go back to our histories a little bit, because we grew up in very different sized towns. Mm-hmm. And I mean, 4 years apart, so we're not like different generations.
How many graduates were in your class?
About 520.
Mine was like 220.
Right, but so.
And you were in a bigger city.
I was in a suburb. My town, not my county, my town was 32,000,
right,
which is the current population of the entire county in which your town was.
Right.
So my, you were at 9,000.
8,000.
Back then. So 32,000 to 8,000. I did not drink.
Shockingly, I did.
Yeah. So I'm not shocked.
You know, and I think we can talk about this, but my perception was that it had to be about 75% of the people I went to high school with drank. Now, was that right? Was that real? No, it wasn't. You know, hindsight, it was.
So really where would different. You describe your position? We didn't plan any of this, y'all. So if it sounds choppy, it's because I just came up with this. Where did you, if you were to put yourself on the spectrum of like, so my high school was so big. There were so many different little groups, you know, groups of different types of people. Where would you describe yourself in terms of like super popular kids, the jocks, the nerds, the whatever? I don't know what your high school looked like, but where would you put yourself in that?
So this may sound conceited. It may sound like I was the one that wanted to be friends with everybody. It didn't matter what group it was. I tried not to look down on anybody. I tried to fit in within whatever group I was with. I felt like I could fit in wherever I went, whether
but
it was the jocks
also,
or whether it was the country boys or whether it was the metalheads.
But you also moved to this town in what grade?
Seventh grade.
So you were not from the town, and it's a small town. So you kind of felt behind for a little bit.
Sure,
and so wanted to try to fit in with whomever. Yeah.
And that's the thing is that whatever group I was, you know, like I said, whether it was the country kids or the athletes or the hard rock lovers or the potheads, stoners.
If you've used drugs, you're allowed to use the terminology. Yeah, if
that
you haven't,
group wasn't hard to find the ones that partied, obviously. But in the other groups, the people that I did hang out with, even though I was always kind of accepted, it was the ones that drank. And so I just thought, well, each one of these has, you know, they drink. So everybody must drink. But inside those subcultures, like the jocks, because the hockey team all drank didn't mean the basketball team did, but I just assumed that they did.
Right.
Or the football players. There was a lot of guys that when I went to high school with that did not do what I did.
Right.
But I was very close-minded on what went on around me.
Right.
And so that was what my mind went to. And then when I started teaching and coaching, I was very hypersensitive to it. And now that my son's in high school, I'm very hypersensitive to it because
y'all
I want to
no
know
idea how hypersensitive
I really want to know. I mean, and I'm not like badgering him or
no, you're not a helicopter.
I'm just want to know the people, the friends my son has.
And you made that comment today. It's the people you're hanging out with, the friends you had.
Right. And show me your friends, I'll show you your future is something they say a lot in recovery. And so that's what, you know, and we'll get to this, what parents can do. But, and not saying that you have to organize who your friends, your kids' friends are, but that plays a huge, huge role in where they're going in their lives and what decisions they're going to make. Is get to know your friends, your kids' friends.
So for me, again, I grew up in a very large town.
Oh, before we go that, my friends weren't bad people.
No, they're not. They were good people. I mean, we could say one of your friends is the chief of police.
Right. But you know, the reality was, is that,
in the paper, it says new chief in town. Yeah. Just so you know, I just had to point that out.
The reality is that I had good friends, but we had like a backstory. Like,
can I just also say something you said earlier is that you felt like you needed to be the guy that threw the parties and you needed to do that. And so maybe my perception of that was that you felt you needed to do that to be cool. And the younger kid with the alcohol or whatever.
I didn't want to not be invited. So if I threw the party, I couldn't not be invited.
Exactly.
So,
okay. So for me now, I grew up in the same community. I went to the same school district. Now I switched schools in kindergarten, after kindergarten to first grade. No big deal. I switched schools again after like second grade or fifth grade or something. But I went to the same school district. Now we had multiple elementary schools, two middle schools, one high school. I wouldn't say I was in the jock group, but I did a lot of sports. So depending on what sport I was doing, like I didn't do the same three sports that a lot of the girls did. Like I didn't do so a lot of them did volleyball, basketball, softball. That was not me. I was a swimmer. I played basketball and then I did track. And so I had very different, like during that season, I hung out with different girls.
Right.
And I had a really long-term boyfriend, we won't go into that, who was very nerdy. And so I also hung out with the nerds a lot. And, you know, like three of us were all like in the top three of our graduating class of 520. So that was that group. Clearly there was no drinking. I don't even want to go into those hangouts. But it's not that I wasn't invited to these things, because I was kind of like you, like no matter what group I was hanging out in, I was totally fine. Like I wouldn't identify with any one group, you know, like our homecoming queen, I talked about her on my story episode. She was like, I could hang out with that group. I could hang out with any of the groups. So I kind of floated, but I did not go to the parties. I did not host the parties. But the caveat is my mom got sick at the end of like the very, very end of my freshman year. And my high school was 10th, 11th, 12th grade. So I went into high school like taking care of my dying mom and my sister. And so I went into high school very different. My mom died when I was in high school. And then I moved to a different town, but went to the same high school. So again, I was adulting at 15. Now, that being said, also is the house I grew up or lived in my junior and senior year, town over, we hosted all the parties.
Right.
Like my cousin hosted all the parties. And
so you experienced it then?
I experienced it locked in my room.
But
and
you
the
didn't
one
participate
experience.
In it.
No, because here's what happened. There was a big party and I was in my room. And the next thing, and this was fairly early on in my moving there, there's a kid, I won't say his name, pass out in my bathroom. Like, and I was in the basement and he was like out cold in my bathroom and everything. Everybody's in a panic because they're all just wasted 15 to 17 year olds basically. And I had to break my own door down and do CPR, got vomited all over doing CPR in my tiny little bathroom and called the cops. Now I was the dork because I called the cops because this kid almost died.
Right.
There's my high school alcohol experience. But I was also a three-sport athlete that my fear of getting busted and losing that or messing up my future because I was emancipated and I had no choice but to make sure I didn't mess up, that fear was over me. So I think my perception was different.
Well, and let's face it, where I was, I mean, we would have situations where we would, you know, the 2/3 of the hockey team would be, you know, together at one place drinking and, you know, we would have the party busted and they would not do anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was this idea that we were invincible. And so, which isn't a good thing at all, mm-mm. but that's where that perception was, is that we could get away with it. So why not? And, you know, and that's the difference, you know, And it is a big difference between rural Minnesota versus, you know.
Well, there's if you're in a hockey team in this town where you grew up in, your depth chart, you need every player.
Mm-hmm.
you're in a big city and you get busted, there's five more players ready to take your spot.
That's why I think, and I'm not saying that there isn't a female athlete component to some of this stuff, but some of these specialized students, like specializing in hockey or basketball or whatever, I think you're seeing less athlete strength now because of this whole overbearing. And maybe it's not a good thing that they're just being pushed and pushed and pushed, but they don't, they're so fearful.
Right.
And
that was me.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's one of the things that's really a benefit of being in extracurriculars is that you do have that. And it should be,
right.
You know, it should be that, you know, you're really signing a behavioral contract when you join these.
And it's interesting because I had to sign something like that way back when, but it was like, here, sign this.
Right.
You know, like my kid
I signed it.
Like my oldest, my 14-year-old played JV soccer as a seventh grader because we live in a tiny town, whatever. But he had to sign the contract.
Right.
Even my 12-year-old, he has to sign a baseball contract to play like travel. Like
you're not going
to
use
sports. You're not going to do anything. But to be honest, I can't guarantee my kids even read that form.
Exactly.
Okay.
You start reading it, though, once you get older.
Right.
And you start understanding.
And we talked a little bit about this, and maybe we should do a whole episode on sanctions. I know we kind of briefly talked about it.
Well, we did
it
after I did that presentation for the Minnesota State High School League.
So it's just a different, we have different experiences. I wanna maybe out myself a little bit, though. So it's not that I didn't ever drink. Like, my first drink was not at 21. I very distinctly remember... This is me being a really big dork. So my best friend, who also had a single mom, and my mom was sick at this time, but she was good for a year. So I was somewhere between I was probably 16 at this point. And she came over. We had sleepovers all the time. Like, she helped me raise my sister when my mom died and took care of my sister when my mom was dying. She, her mom's did not drink a ton, but vodka was the only thing they had in their house. So she liked vodka. I don't know how that even happened, whatever. But she would come over and we'd make up dances because I was a dancer. So we'd always like make up dances. We'd make cut tapes of all these songs we'd splice together. We were super nerdy. But
she's blushing.
Because this is so stupid. This is on the radio, but we were like 16 and this happened two times during that 15 to 16 year old year, because we were at my house where I grew up and before my mom died. And we took freezies, different colored freezies. And we took two of each color and smashed them all up to make like a slushie and put vodka in it. So I drank two times when I was 16. Wow. And then not again until I hit college.
Wow, really? Rebel.
Rebel. And I don't remember what it was nothing crazy. It was like there was no blackout, there was nothing. It was just like doing it just because.
And so this will play into it, you know, when people are going, why are they telling us these stories again? But it will play into it because of the development that happens. And yes, you graduated top of your class and, you know, became a doctor and, you know, one of the most intelligent human beings I've ever met. And I am me. So,
whatever.
You know, the reality is we were talking about this earlier today. I feel like I never applied myself my whole adolescence in, you know, like
you were more worried about fitting in, it seems, than you, and fitting in was more important
than achievements.
And so, and the fear of failure as an achievement, it was better to just kind of hang under the radar.
The achievement wasn't a positive enough to offset the fear of that failure. So,
okay. So I want to go through a little bit more data. And we kind of talked about like being at the parties and kids being escapable. So high school students, 9th through 12th graders, 23% we said drank in the last month, 11% binge drank. Now we can go into binge drinking in here in a second because...
Well, binge drinking is the same
binge drinking
as it was in the other episodes, right?
Yes. And
five or more
for women. But that is where teenagers outdo alcohol. Like, okay, I'm going to go to this other data and then I'll come back to the risky behavior. People ages 12 to 20 consumed 3.2% of all alcohol consumed in the United States. Okay. 3.2 doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 12 to 20 year olds, it sounds like a lot. To me, it sounds like a lot, especially when 20% of the world drinks 80% of the alcohol.
Well, and you would think that college people drink 98% of the alcohol.
And we're not even talking about, exactly. 20, well, then, yeah. I guess there are some, but they're not even legal. Okay. I'm just reading it right from the study. Although youth drink less often than adults, when they do drink, they drink more than adults.
Which?
Approximately 90% of beverages containing alcohol consumed by youth are consumed by youth who engage in binge drinking. So basically, if you are a youth and you're drinking, you are binge drinking.
And let me explain that as somebody that did this, is that we didn't have that, you know, okay, we're just going to have a beer tonight, you know, and go to the, have a pizza, have a beer at the bar, watch the game, and go home. If we had the opportunity to drink, we were going to make the most of it.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to, is that we have that, you know, okay, we're all going to sneak off and we're going to go to Josh's house because his parents are gone. Sorry, mom and dad. But we're going to go to his parents' house because they're gone. And
it's funny because his parents don't drink, so there's no alcohol in the house. So
we have this opportunity. So we're going to, and you know what, to be honest, you know, I'm not saying this is, makes us saints or anything, but we always did that for the most part. Okay, we're going to stay there, you know?
Yeah, so, you're just doing all these segues for me.
Yeah, we're going to stay there. We're going to get drunk. And then, so that is a binge drinking situation because that was our opportunity.
If you could drink, you drank it. And yes. So, okay, 3.2 million youth in 2022, again, 12 to 20 years old, binge drank at least once in the last month. But 646,000 American youth, 12 to 20, binge drank 5 or more days in the last month. Now, in the country, that's not a huge amount, but it's a huge amount when you're talking 12 to 20 year olds.
5 or more times in a month?
5 or more times in a month.
Yeah, that's once a week.
That's over more that. Than once a week. So, and yeah. And here's what's also interesting.
And that is an example of, we got a drug, an alcohol problem. This is an alcoholic in the making.
And 97.7% got it for free. So they didn't have to pay an older person to buy it for them. It just was given to them, mostly out of their parents, family members buy it for them, or it's just in the home or whatever. So that party I was talking about where that kid passed in the bathroom and I got vomited on, I actually went and saw him in the hospital and I said, don't you ever do that again, whatever. So then I'm in college like a couple of years later in a totally different area, had moved out of that house, he's a year younger than me even. I go to a frat party because my ex at the time was a frat guy. And there, I walk into this frat party, and I was always sober cab in college, just so y'all know, of course, because I am nerdy Heather. And he was hammered at this party. And I walked up to him, and he looked at me and turned white as a ghost, even though he's totally out of it. But he was, like, busted. And I slapped him across the face, and I left the party. I was like, you go for it. You can try to die yourself today. I'm not saving you. Right. I'm out of here. Yeah. But anyway,
you're on your own, buddy.
You're talking about staying in the same place. Okay, so we talked about 23% drank last month, 11% binge drank in the last month, 5% of high school students, 5% drove drunk.
Which is low.
But of the 23% who drank, 5% drove drunk, but 14%.
Wait. 5% of the 20% or 5%?
5% of the 23% who drank drove, but 14% rode with someone in a car who had been drinking.
Okay.
So roughly 20% of kids who were drinking. So 1 in 5 of the kids who were drinking either drove drunk or rode in a car with someone who was drinking.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, and part of it is because there aren't situations like I presented. And I'm not saying we did that all the time. We tried, you know, because we didn't want to have to go home. Who wants to go home? You know, you got a chance of going home and mom and dad are up and, you know, you stumble in. So, you know, a lot of times you want to find a place. And again, location, I'm in rural Minnesota. We could find somebody that's got a cabin. I remember we stayed at a cabin a lot. I mean, there would be 20 people on the floors and everything. And that was the ideal situation. But there were times where, you know, you just went out to a field party, you know? and there's a kegger, and you know, you drank too much. And
I just,
so, and there's
this is
always
beyond me.
There's
if you went to high school with me and you want to like be on this podcast and tell me what you actually did when I was in high school with you,
I remember,
I would love to know what was actually going on in my high school.
Well, and I would love to actually have somebody from my high school come on and tell me what was going on in my high school, because like you said, there's these different perceptions, and you know, and I mean, I felt like I was probably one of the more tame ones, and here I'm probably the only one that's been to 9 treatments. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like 1 in 5 youth, 12 to 20, have had a blackout in the last 6 months.
1 in 5 youth
have had a blackout. That's a lot.
That's even higher, though, than the people that have had a drink.
1 in 5 youth drink.
Oh, have drink. A blackout. Okay. There we go. That makes sense.
But we'll explain what blackouts mean. You literally just don't remember a darn thing that happened, which is associated with binge drinking. It makes sense.
Blackout doesn't necessarily mean that you're unconscious.
No, it just means
you don't remember.
Usually you pass out. So you're not unconscious, but you are passed out and you don't remember a darn thing.
Right.
That's, if we're talking blackout addiction treatment, it's,
yeah,
you passed out.
So let,
maybe, and we'll get into that with the health issues. But in ages less than 21, 4,000 deaths a year directly related to alcohol in the United States.
Under 21.
Greater than 240,000 years of life lost related to alcohol.
And
$24 billion in the U.S. was spent on alcohol-related injuries, fatalities, da-da-da-da-da, in kids under the age of 21 as of 2010.
How much?
$24
billion. And this is, like, when you talk about, you know, underage deaths and things like that due to drinking, you know, we've focused a lot on overdoses, and we've focused a lot on the heroin or the fentanyl or whatever we might talk about. I do remember the dangers of alcohol poisoning, vomiting, and choking on your own vomit. You know, I don't remember having anybody like that. Never happened to anybody in my school while I was there, but I remember hearing stories about it all over. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was some,
well, there's a lot
scare
of deaths.
Stories, but there, that happens.
It does.
And a lot of it has to do almost like when you talk about fentanyl and the number of people who are early users that die of an overdose. The same has to be talked about in alcohol. There's a lot of people who are not in that, I drink every weekend, that end up being the ones,
well,
that die.
And we talked about, exactly, and we talked about this in the last episode with the blood alcohol percentages and what happens.
Yeah, the tolerance.
But if they don't have the tolerance and they're they go out and binge drink and their blood alcohol is at 0.4, they could definitely get comatose and whatever. And if you're a bunch of teenagers and your friend passes out, you're like giggling because your friend passed out. But the reality is they could
be dying, or they, you know, if you don't watch them, they could aspirate on their own vomit, you know, if they're laying on their back. And that usually happens to the people that are not seasoned drinkers.
Right.
And that's the dangers, because there is an easy, I mean, if you start taking shots and you start doing a lot of hard alcohol drinking, you can get really drunk really fast and not even know what is happening.
Exactly.
And you can die of the alcohol poisoning, not seeing the aspirating on your vomit, or, you know, passing out in the cold and dying of hypothermia, or, you know, driving drunk and crashing your car.
Right.
It's there. You can actually die from the alcohol poison. I remember one time at this concert I was at, there's this concert festival in Northern Minnesota, country festival, that every time I go, there was always somebody that would die. And it was a big, but one year, a couple campsites
the
over.
The funniest thing is I worked in that jail one year over that weekend of that festival, and let me tell you how many people got booked into, like, they actually have extra officers work that weekend of that country festival because the amount of people that got booked into that.
Well,
jail.
I'm sure they have to have more people working at the hospitals too.
Yep.
Based on, but the one person, I heard a lot of different ways people died. I mean, one fell asleep with a cigarette in their tent and burned. Two people burned alive. One tried to cross the highway after the concert, got hit by a semi. But the worst one was somebody took a beer bong and took a 750 of vodka and beer bonged it. And went to the outhouse and died immediately. Like, they went in there, found him, and he's dead. So, I mean, if you think about that, you know, and just how insane that is.
Oh, God.
I mean, this was a younger guy.
Right.
And but the idea that somebody had to hold that beer bong and somebody had to pour that vodka in. You know, this was people that were complicit to this act, you know. But right. But I bring that up just because that can kill you. The amount of alcohol that goes into your body can kill you. And
right.
And when you think about people that are young that don't have the experience, they don't even realize it.
This, no, you the, don't. The bad it happens taste, very fast.
The bad taste is supposed to keep you from doing it.
Right.
But
I'll out myself a minute here.
Again?
I will. So my 21st birthday. So I was legal at this point, by the way, y'all. So I had not drank really much since the couple times in high school, like I talked about. But 21st birthday was horrible. I was way older than all my friends. I have an earlier birthday. And my one friend had a fake ID, so she went to the bar. And then the whole fraternity, my ex at the time, he was a year younger than me, so his fraternity brothers were all there. And I don't even know how much alcohol I consumed. But like you said, it all happened within an hour. My birthday was on a Sunday, so it all happened between like 12 and 1 a.m. I consumed way too much alcohol, and I was so sick. I won't even go into the details because I'm not going to out myself that much. But at one point, I looked at my ex and he said, "Please punch me in the face so I can pass out," because I was that sick. It was horrible.
But you vomited.
I vomited a lot. Ton, and so I did not drink again for like 2 years. That's how horrible that was.
And that's how you can you keep yourself from alcohol poisoning by vomiting.
And your body does that. I had to intentionally vomit.
But if you don't, that's when the alcohol poisoning can really take effect. And you know, some people just don't want to vomit and they'll just keep themselves from vomiting.
No, I was like, bring it on, because it was horrible. So I didn't drink for like 2 to 3 years after that. But some people like don't do that. And I remember every single second of that. So for some reason, I didn't black out. I wish I would have not remembered all that, but at the same time, that saved me. So,
well, but see, it, this is when
my whole point is that it happens
fast.
Like, I remember leaving the bar. Someone drove me home safely. That was not drinking, because I was not, even way too many shots in, I was still well with my brain at that point. I remember walking into my dorm and my roommate was like, "You look way too good." And I remember all of this. And then it hit me, because it all happened so fast.
For an hour, it's just entering and it's not really taking in. And this is, you know, we keep telling these things because it is very applicable to the youth concept.
Okay. So anyway, I want to kind of move forward here a second, but let me talk about a little bit about the data of what happens with kids who start drinking before the age of 15 are actually at a higher risk for developing alcohol use disorder later in life. So if you start drinking before the age of 15, you are 3.5 times more likely to develop an alcohol use disorder than those who don't start drinking until they're 21 or later.
That's the important thing is that if we can hold that off.
Right. That's the point.
That's what I tell my son who's in that age range, you know.
Well, and it's kind of like what we talked about with Dr. Pauly on the marijuana talk, is that the later you can wait, the better.
Right. And that's the part that you're an example. You are a great example. You tried it a couple times at 16. That doesn't, I mean, not saying that's okay, but that does not impact your development. Correct?
Correct. I mean it,
I'm not
it
giving
can,
the free,
but not as much.
I'm not giving the free pass to go and do it.
Right.
But we're talking about preventing kids from becoming regular users
or
of
problematic.
It. Problematic. Or, because it does interfere with their brain development.
And that's, I guess, where I want to kind of go next, as we tried to keep these in half an hour increments, but we're going way beyond with this one. I want to kind of go through some of the effects that alcohol can have on these youth, including the brain development, because I think it is so, so huge. But there's other things. So acutely, meaning like immediately. 20% of all traffic accidents for 16 to 20-year-olds involve alcohol. So every kid car accident, a fit one in five, has alcohol involved.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Which, there's a lot of car accidents with kids. Let's face it. They're not the greatest drivers.
Right. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for youth. 28% of suicides for the kids ages 9 to 15, so we're going way young now, are directly attributed to have alcohol involved. So
9 to 15, 28%
have alcohol.
And I'm guessing that number gets higher
the older you get.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
other health things, bone density, so strength of bones, is delayed and or less. So people who start drinking at an earlier age have less bone mineral density, especially adolescent males.
Which, so, I mean, we talked about this with the marijuana thing too. Is, I mean, if you're a student or your son or daughter or athletes, if you want to give them, if they're really passionate about it, I mean, dosing these things like marijuana, cigarettes, alcohol, it's going to play a role in how strong you can get.
Well, and you don't think about that. You don't think, oh, no, my bone strength.
Or now, what about muscles?
Well, they didn't kind of go into that in this study.
But it's got to affect it.
Right. And puberty in women was delayed, which, whatever. Okay, future problems. If we're talking about, like, alcoholism, we already talked about. I'm going to kind of look at this really quickly. Four times more likely to develop alcohol use disorder. We kind of talked about this, but the average person as an adult who develops an alcohol use disorder, the average age of first drink of an alcohol use disorder was age 13 for people who develop an alcohol use disorder. Their first, like, getting
drunk
was age 15, and their first problem associated with alcohol was age 20.
That's the average.
Let me tell you what the average, like, what problems actually are.
Pregnancy, DUI.
So any time of behavior they later regretted is considered a problem. Interference with the ability to think clearly was a problem. Damage to relationship with, like, a boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other was a problem. Criminal. Driving is a problem. Damaged friendships, emotional issues, parental issues, police issues, performance in school, those are all problems.
Yeah.
So obviously the more alcohol, but this, the more
can, this problems. Can be subjective too. I mean, that's the difficult thing, is it's not exactly a science when it comes to problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody could have a different definition of problem.
Right.
I mean,
so if you can delay your drinking to age 21, you can reduce your risk significantly. There's like the bottom line right there. But I want to talk about.
Let's put it another way. It's like investing, you know, in the stock market, or invest, you know, doing a retirement plan. The earlier you start in it pays off dividends, literally.
So it's the opposite.
If you're investing in your future by not engaging in alcohol use or marijuana use or nicotine use, the longer you wait,
the better
you're going to see the returns. And it's going to be exponentially better based on the longer you wait. Yes, if you can wait till you're 18, great. That's way better than starting to drink when you're 15.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you to wait, Ben, encourage you to wait until you're 21. But please at least wait until you get through high school, you know?
Right.
I'm not giving you the green card to go, or the green light to go and you know, whoop it up in college in your freshman year. But if you can at least make it that far, you're miles ahead of a lot of others.
Okay, so brain development, it significantly impacts brain development. Things like memory, things like the frontal lobe development, which is your adulting part of your brain, can actually get delayed and or blunted, just like marijuana.
Hello.
Memories can be impacted. Your ability to do fine motor tasks, things like higher level, like even math skills and science skills, those can all be negatively impacted by the use of alcohol at a younger age.
Concentration,
mental health things. So significantly increased chance of having depression, anxiety, and all the things all come out with increased alcohol.
The alcohol is bad.
Alcohol is bad. So verbal information, visual, spatial information. So like math, science, computer classes. They also have increased truancy, poor attendance in schools, higher school dropouts.
And I'm sure you could put in, you know, higher rate of, you know, divorce. You know,
like, we could go on and on. I do want to talk about sexual behavior because this is a huge thing with adolescents, significantly associated with unwanted sexual behavior. Significantly heavy alcohol use, which all of it is because it's all been shrinking, unprotected intercourse, sexual activity before the age of 16, way up. In 1 to 2/3 of sex, so 1 to 2/3, I mean, oh, about, let's just say roughly half of sexual assault and date rape cases among teens and college students involve alcohol. Twice as likely to have a sexually transmitted disease, and girls with alcohol problems are 3 times more likely to have a pregnancy before the age of 18.
And it's directly related.
Directly related to alcohol use. So,
I mean, it's not always with unwanted pregnancies or not always with.
It's percentage.
It's a high number.
Okay. Role parents play really quickly. Increased risk for youth is if the parents are providing alcohol, if they have a favorable attitude towards alcohol, or if the parents are drinking a lot in front of the youth. Benefits is if the parents are monitoring their kids, if they have good relationships, quality relationships, good parental support and involvement in their kids. So,
and we'll talk about this more in another episode, but we really got to wrap this up. This went longer than we thought, but we are on a roll with this alcohol thing, and we will pick it up again in the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Working together, we can move addiction to recovery.
If you would be so kind, please go to wherever you listen to your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating, possibly a comment, but for sure click to follow us so you never miss an episode. Most importantly, don't forget to share our episode with a friend.
And as always, if you would like to ask us a question, have a topic recommendation, or would even want to be a guest on our show, email us at addiction2recoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's addiction2recoverypodcast@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Twitter at A2RPodcast or on Facebook or Instagram at addiction2recoverypodcast.